This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Presented by Garrison Building Supply and the Festival of Lights. Let's get an update. Brian Prowitz on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle.
So, a final week, am I correct?
Yeah. Going into January 1st, our final night. Yeah, we got one more week to go, basically.
And talk about yesterday.
Well, obviously, once the snow started falling, we had a decision to make, and so we ended up closing the Festival of Lights yesterday. We know there are people that are comfortable in the snow that might want to drive out there and see the lights, but we've got to get volunteers out there, and we certainly don't want to, and it's cold, so volunteers was my first thought, but obviously we don't want visitors trying to get to the festival if it's open and potentially having an accident or something bad happen. So yeah, we made the call about midday, let our volunteers know, and tried to communicate through Facebook and the website to make sure that people knew that we were going to call it due to inclement weather, which I think is probably a pretty safe bet.
So what are your thoughts about later today?
Good question. I'm looking at a 38 degree afternoon and hoping things melt a little bit. Hopefully the roads will be cleaner and people will be a little bit more confident and we can have some volunteers out there. So, like everybody else, kind of watching and waiting. I do like seeing the sunshine poke out right now, but it's still only, 30 degrees. So we need to get a little bit of a thaw so the roads turn black instead of white, and then maybe we can get people out there.
So if they get out tonight or later in the week, talk about what people can see this year.
Yeah, we are very excited about the 2021 version of the Festival of Lights because we have a couple of things going on. The first thing is that Holiday Village is not open and wouldn't have been open anyway now for the home stretch here in the final week, but we've not been able to do that because of COVID, but we still are having the Festival of Lights, which in itself is a victory considering all the other things that are affected by COVID. So, we have two things that we want to definitely pay attention to that we're excited about. One is the e-tickets that continue to happen this year. You can buy your ticket online, show your QR code at the window at the gate when you drive up through your window. In fact, if you don't want to roll your window down and get scanned and then go ahead and go in. But the other thing is right near the entrance on the left, we have a tribute to Kerwin Doughton, who's the father of the Festival of Lights, who passed away early 2021. He's the man who started this in 1993, and our friends at Convey built the display you will see to your left, which also includes a 12-foot rendition of the Nutcracker, which was Kerwin's pride and joy. So a nice tribute to Kerwin Doughton greets people at the gate, and we want him to be remembered always as the father of Festival of Lights.
And what are some of the other highlights this year?
Well, the traditional favorites that people love, we show off the Umpqua Valley fairly nicely between the dunes and fishing and golf and the winery industry that we have here. But we still have our very popular Frozen animated Disney light display that actually is in a couple of places in the park. And then in addition to Kerwin Doughton's tribute, we've also got the auto wrapper, which is fairly new, another gift from Convey from a couple of years ago. But all the traditional favorites are there. The Nutcracker's back again. Last year, the world's largest Nutcracker didn't make an appearance for several reasons. Man, people let us know they really wanted to see Woody Wintergard. So he's back up again in the back corner of the park. So I think all the things that people come to expect at the Festival of Lights are there, plus some of our new displays as well.
And you get people not only from around the Umpqua Valley, but from quite a ways away. Come down, come up, come over to see this.
Yeah, and we've continued to advertise all around from Eugene to Medford over to the coast because we know routinely people are coming from those areas to see what the Festival of Lights looks like. The last couple of years, our friends over at Shore Acres have not been able to do their outdoor light display, and so we've made sure the people in Coos Bay and on the coast are aware that they can come this way as well. And because of our e-ticket system, we can track where people are coming from when they purchase online, and so we've got the whole list of all the zip codes from everybody who signs up for an e-ticket, and it's tracking just like it did last year. About 50% of the people who come to the Festival of Lights are coming from outside of Douglas County, and we're really proud of that fact.
And so while that brings in revenue for what you're working on, it also brings folks to the area who may stick around and do other things.
Yeah, we really hope that's the case, Kyle. It'd be logical in most situations where somebody could come over and have dinner and then go to the Festival of Lights and maybe stay the night. I mean, it is a nighttime thing. I guess there's still plenty of time. We open at 5:30, so you could drive through the festival and probably make it back home wherever you came from. But yeah, the whole purpose, one of the big reasons for the Festival of Lights, I should say, has always been from the tourism point of view. And this is also a Rotary Club project. And so the Rotaries around here support it, and they are obviously happy to do anything that improves the economy and helps. So we feel like this is one of those things.
Over the years, what have you been able to do with the money that's come in?
Yeah, the revenue from the Festival of Lights goes to scholarships for the Rotary Club. So the Rotary Club's always looking for ways to recognize our young people as they graduate from high school. And so it's been about $10,000 a year to scholarships through the Rotary Club's efforts. And then there's also some money that goes to other Rotary events as well. So it definitely has an impact. And over the years, we've been able to raise over $250,000, actually, that's been doled out over the last 28 years.
And you have a lot of businesses, organizations, people that connect with you to do special nights, things like that.
Yep. We, once again, this year, you can see online where those special nights are. Our special nights are now done for the year, but the banks and credit unions here have supported it, the festival greatly, with being able to show your card at the gate and get in for free, including Bi-Mart. And of course, we had our big canned food night. And it's also very popular when the Boys and Girls Club night comes, because the kids love to show their Boys and Girls Club card and basically treat their family to a free trip through the Festival of Lights because they're a member of our Boys and Girls Club of the Umpqua Valley. So stuff like that's pretty special.
So for the rest of the week, what are the hours?
5:30 until 9 o'clock through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday night until 10. And we will be open on New Year's Day, January 1st. So we include the first day of 2022. So we hope to see everybody out there.
All right, very good. And if things go sideways with the weather today, let us know and we'll get the word out.
Yeah, appreciate that. We do have updates on our Facebook page and on our website at uvfestivaloflights.com.
All right, Brian Prowitz from the Festival of Lights, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Kyle. Merry Christmas.
And 8:39, Morning Conversation, a presentation at Gerritsen Building Supply.